Thanks for tuning into Americana Music Profiles. The next episode starts right now.
You are tuned in to another edition of Americana Music Profiles, brought to you by Americana Rhythm Music Magazine and AmericanaMusicMagazine.com. I'm your host, Greg Tutwiler. Let's jump right in to the next exciting interview. Just a little over 2 years ago, UK singer Israel Portnoy, who now resides in his namesake country of Israel, lost his entire musical instrument collection along with countless books of lyrics, journals, and poetry in a fire that swept through the village that he was living in at the time. The only personal belongings that survived were the clothes that he was wearing and his vintage 1963 12-string guitar that he had taken with him earlier in the day. That guitar, along with countless friends and family, helped him recover, at least emotionally, and led him to write and record his latest project, Facing Flames, featuring Gilda, which was the name he lovingly called his guitar. Israel joins me for this edition of Americana Music Profiles to talk about his experience and his new record. Hi, Israel. Welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for taking the time out of your day to join us for the show. I am speaking to you. Are you in Tel Aviv? Is that correct?
I'm about 20 minutes out of Tel Aviv. I'm in a bit of a village. It's a green village. It's called Bet Meir, which means the House of Light.
Yeah.
But it's not a city, but the city it's closest to is definitely Tel Aviv, yeah.
Yeah, okay. And obviously I hear a European accent. How long have you been in Tel Aviv? Where did you grow up in the UK?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm English, and I moved to Israel on my own in my late teens.
Okay.
And I've been here since, yeah.
What led you there?
Well, my name is Israel, so I didn't really have much of a choice, right?
right.
It's kind of you know, returning to my roots. I have family here.
Uh-huh.
I have history here and ancestry here, so it felt right, you know,
yeah.
going back to my homeland.
Right, that's cool. Did you grow up with music as part of your life?
Very much so, yeah. My dad was a orchestra conductor and arranger and a vocalist himself for many years. Actually, by the time I was growing up, he had actually changed professions. He was a rabbi, actually, by the time I was growing up.
Oh, wow, okay.
And he couldn't quite... didn't quite work out for him, the music thing.
Uh-huh.
But we very much grew up in a very musical household, and one of nine kids, and both my parents are musical, and we were always, you know, singing together and harmonizing together around the family table, and there's always instruments in the living room, so we kind of just gravitated towards that. And obviously in England the weather's not particularly good, so you know, you can't really go out much, so you're left with no choice, you know, play music in the living room.
Was there a time or a moment that you recall thinking, I'd really like to pursue this seriously when I grow up?
It's funny, I've been asked that before, and I just don't have a good answer for it. The honest truth is because I feel like it was never really a choice. It was almost just like the obvious, you know, it was the thing that I was just pulled to, and it wasn't like I'm going to do this for a job. It was like I always did it and loved doing it, and you know, played a couple of wedding gigs that paid me money when I was a teenager, yeah. Which already gave me a taste of like, oh, you can make money and do
right,
what you love.
Right, yeah,
it wasn't like what's my career choice going to be? How am I going to make a living? I'm going to do music. And as much as it was like happened to just coincide the, you know, the thing that I love doing most. So I'm really, really lucky from that.
Has it been something that you've been able to pursue as a full-time career, or did you have other vocations along the way?
I'm very lucky in that I've managed to do music exclusively my whole life, pretty much. Yeah, it's a real blessing and a lot of luck.
Yeah. What were your influences along the way? What led you to the genre of music? When I listen to the things that you've created, I get this Americana folk rock feel. were those some of your influences growing up?
So when I was much younger, we actually at home, I grew up in a religious Jewish household where we didn't really have exposure to non-Jewish music inside the house. It was kind of very, you know, we would listen to lots of liturgical music, things which were related to, you know, the prayer and services and religious music. And my earliest exposure really to other music was from a very young age on the Radio 2 every day on the way to school. We'd travel an hour into school and an hour back from school. And we had a rota, and with this driver who would, you know, take a whole bunch of kids, and his name was Mr. Mann, actually, and he mm-hmm. used to play Radio 2 every day for an hour on the way to school and on the way back from school. And I didn't even know what I was listening to. I didn't necessarily know who the artists were or even the names of the songs, but I got a lot of music. It was like 2 hours every day from the age of 4 years old to, you know, 16. And that's where a lot of music influence comes from. And indeed, there definitely was a lot of that, you know, as you say, Americana, some kind of mix of folk and rock and yeah. some country and some and all of that. And I really, you know, I think I got really turned onto the guitar very young. And, you know, I loved Eric Clapton and, you know, any of like the British guys who were kind of the link to the American guitar thing and Americana thing. And yeah, it kind of just went from there, really. So I think the love of guitar kind of naturally ends up taking you to that, you know, to that place where, you know, folk and blues and country and rock all kind of meet, because the instrument naturally really gravitates to that place. So I guess it happened quite naturally.
Knowing a little bit about early British music, the British rock invasion, and, you know, the British folk music, lots of history there. Moving from the UK, then into Israel and that part of the country, how was that transition for you musically? Are they where you are now? Are they in tune to the same styles of music?
It was actually an incredibly mind-opening experience moving here from a musical mindset, because, as you say, you know, the Beatles and all that stuff that I was coming from was very much, you know, Western music, and, you know, the smallest musical interval, you know, we have semitones is like, you know, the smallest distance between two notes, and all of a sudden you come to a place and there's quarter tones, right? There's these like much more, these microtonal sounds, these like very typically Eastern sounds that you're not even used to, and that you can't even necessarily play on you know, on a piano or most instruments. And obviously there's different scales and the different kind of textures and vibe and chord sequences and it's a different language. So it was very, very, very mind-opening to me, and really, really beautiful. And what's so great about Israel is that there's just like a huge range of music. I mean, there's people here who, you know, love rock and roll, and there's people who love blues, and there's people... Okay. You know, and there's people who listen to all kinds of music that they don't even know what they're talking about, and you know, and you've also got this like Middle Eastern depth, and like lots of fretless instruments. You know, like I was saying, with the whole quarter tone thing,
sure,
and microtone thing, and that's just, yeah, it's really like worlds colliding. It's really beautiful.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, that's cool. We're going to pause for just a moment. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the interview. So you had a fairly tragic event a couple years ago that led you ultimately to the new record that that is out now for you. Tell us a little bit about that and how that has inspired this new music.
Sure. So, yeah, it was about 2 years ago. Well, it was actually 2 years exactly to the date that I released it. It was May May the 23rd, 2019.
Mm-hmm.
And we were living in a pretty little green village in central Israel. And there was a forest fire which broke out. And we were basically, I say forest fire, we were surrounded kind of by like forest area.
Mm-hmm.
So nobody suspected it would, you know, actually come into the village, because there's been many forest fires before, and you know, they usually get under control pretty fast, not really anything to worry about. But we took, you know, precautionary measures, and we were all told to sort of, you know, leave our houses and you know, come back once the forest fire is under control. And I was strumming on my very, very beloved 12-string guitar. It's actually an American Guild. It's a 60 Guild. And I was playing it at the time. I was strumming, so I thought, you know what, well, if we're leaving anyway, I'll take it with me. You know, I didn't think to take a wallet or my ID or anything else. I just thought, well, if we're going to the entrance of the village, I'm anyway playing it. It's kind of like there's a bunch of, you know, artists and hippies kind of vibe. So it makes sense. It's the kind of place you would kind of just take a guitar with you to a communal gathering as you were waiting to be allowed back in. So I took it with me, and of course I didn't know, but to cut a very long story short, the next time I returned to the house, you know, it was completely, you know, it was even the walls of the house didn't exist. It was just completely decimated.
Wow.
And
it
wasn't just my house.
Yeah.
The entire village was just burnt down to the ground, and I had a home studio. I mean, there was like 20 guitars in that fire, and got, you know, hard drives of music and books. I was quite big on writing books and, you know, writing lyrics in physical, you know, pen and paper.
Yeah.
I still am now, just I have the brains to take a photo of it and store it in Google Photos. you only need to make that mistake once. And it was a pretty, you know, I'm not going to lie, it was a tragic event. But after a whole bunch of months of, you know, wondering how, and a lot of help later, I should say, you know, humanity really showed their beautiful colors, and everyone kind of got together and helped out. I mean, like, you're talking like you go from knowing what you know as your life to not having a toothbrush, you know, or an ID. Like, I didn't have an ID in this world. It's like very strange. But what I did have was Gilda. Gilda is my trusty 12-string guitar.
Yeah.
Nice and beaten 12-string. And at first, I don't know what it was. I joke, my corny dad jokes. I say it was Survivor's Guild.
Yeah.
But for some reason, I couldn't touch the guitar for quite a few weeks. Eventually, though, I came around and we were in this place they had put us in temporarily as we were kind of figuring out the next steps in our lives and where we were going to live and whatnot, and everyone kind of went their own way. And I remember taking the guitar out one morning. I made my coffee and I kind of started strumming, and I really tried to just, literally, it sounds like nothing, you know, it sounds like something you've heard many times. But I really did. I tried to just get out of the way of the guitar and really just like hear what, you know, hear what Gilda has to say. And this kind of like instrumental thing just literally just came out of the guitar quite effortlessly.
Mm.
And that was that's actually ended up being the first track on the guitar. It's called Gilda's Prelude, Prelude for Gilda. And it just gave me a lot of hope. You know, the idea that this instrument had survived and still had so much music in it, and you know, with all the loss, there was this like light, and I kind of tried to hone in on that and really, you know, just kind of pull out as much music as I could, or let her, I should say, express music, and together we were kind of, you know, a team, and I wrote 12 songs, one for each string. It's like a concept album.
I read that's so cool.
Yeah, and it's, you know, just a very, very, you know, as you know, 12-string guitar isn't necessarily the most, you know, friendly sound on every song, but the concept of these songs, like, it is very much front and center in all of the songs, and all the songs were, you know, very much written with that in mind, and so it kind of just made sense that Gilda's, like, front and center in terms of the sound of it all. And yeah, 2 years to the day after, I was going to release it a year after, but then with Corona and whatnot, and, you know, not being able to, you know, hit the road and do any gigs with it, I kind of delayed it. And it was good that I delayed it as well, because I kind of, it gave it a little bit more breathing time. And yeah, 2 years to the day after I released Facing Flames featuring Gilda.
Yeah. Were you able to share any of this music during the COVID lockdown? Were you guys there in Israel locked in like everybody else?
Yeah, it was pretty brutal. In fact, they were very, very strict here, which is how they've managed to get it down to, you know, the numbers now are virtually non-existent. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously there's new added complications now with new variants and whatnot, but in general, they did very well in terms of getting it under control, because they were very, very strict. I mean, they were like full, you know, fully fledged lockdowns.
Mm-hmm.
Not just once, but several times. But I was, you know, I was working hard getting this album over the finish line, and I guess it was probably a, you know, all for the best in on a personal level, in the sense that it kind of gave me that focus to pull it over the finish line and get the album there. Because of course, all us artists have this disease where if you leave it around for long enough, you manage to convince yourself that the world doesn't need it and it's not important, and you don't end up doing anything with it.
right.
Yeah. So I feel blessed that it exists in the world and it's out there. And, yeah.
So what does it look like now? You know, the world opening back up, I presume that you guys are getting there too. Do you have plans to take this out? Will you tour outside of Israel with it, or will you be exclusive in that area?
No, absolutely. Coming to the States at the end of August and September, and, you know, I'm got some dates lined up there wherever, you know, wherever there are places that are still, wherever there are places that are already opened up somewhat.
Sure, yeah.
It's really a, I think it probably, all of us, the whole music community, it kind of really reminded us just how precious it is to be able to go out and make music live for
right.
people, and that connection, and just really gave us all that, you know, newfound appreciation for it. And it's pretty, we all realize how much we missed it. I think not just the musician community, but the listener community as well.
For
people
sure.
who like to go out and listen to music, and it's, you know, I don't think we'll be taking it for granted anytime soon.
Yeah.
At least I hope not.
My wife and I just were able to attend a fairly large music festival this past weekend, and for a lot of the musicians and bands, it was the first time that they were able to play in front of a live audience in 16 months, some of them.
Wow.
And it was a very emotional experience for many of them. Several of the artists got very emotional on stage, just expressing their gratitude to be able to be there, and letting the audience know how critical the interaction was and how much it was missed during the time. And so, yeah, it was a very interesting experience to be there and feel that energy from the artist and feel the deep appreciation for being able to get back and sharing the craft that way.
Oh, that's amazing. So true.
So you have an American tour lined up, or will you just try to take them or arrange that when you get here?
No, it's lined up. By the time this episode goes out, there'll be dates on my website.
Great. Okay.
And yeah, I mean, you know, I'm at this stage, it's all, I'm very much, you know, independent and running shop myself.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not exactly going to be a 50-day tour all over America, but I'm doing whatever I can. And again, for me, the focus is literally right now just, you know, connecting to other human beings through this beautiful thing that we have as music. I'm just trying to do as much of it as I can. And it's nice. It's nice to be able to also just, you know, have an album with the material that that was really itching. You know, I was itching to express and get that out there. So
And you've got other material too, right? This isn't your first record. You've recorded some other things.
Yeah, I have a band with my brother called the Portnoy Brothers. We're actually currently living in different countries, so we're on a bit of a hiatus. But our last record we recorded in Nashville, actually.
Cool.
It's called No Complaint. And that was an amazing experience, going to Nashville and recording a record there. And I'd never been. It was the first time I'd ever been. And I went from, you know, like, never having seen a place, and then 3 days later leaving it, having, you know, spent every night on Music Row and recorded an entire album. And I was just like, what? Like, it just felt like some crazy dream. It was like, this place is like a musician's paradise.
Right, yeah, that's awesome.
Really, really, yeah. It was an amazing experience.
So folks want to reach out, check out your website, try to catch you when you're here in the States. What's the best way to do that? What's your web address and how can people get in touch with you?
Yeah, sure. So it's israelportnoymusic.com, and all of my socials are Israel Portnoy Music, and you can, you know, reach out to me in any of those places. And I just love the advantage that we have, you know, in 2021, that we can just personally be in touch with people from all over the world. You know, it's none of these like hiding behind, you know, companies anymore. It's all so personable. That's one of the advantages of it all, really, isn't it? So I would love to hear from people, and you know, glad to respond and meet new people and see new places. Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, thanks, Israel. I appreciate your story. What a beautiful recovery out of such tragedy, and I'm so glad that you were able to find this music and create it out of that and get a chance to share it. So I wish you well with your tour and with the longevity of this record.
Thank you, Greg. I really appreciate that. Thank you.
Thanks again for tuning in to this episode of Americana Music Profiles. Find us on iTunes at Americana Music Profiles and on the internet at AmericanaRhythm.com.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more Fantasy Points.